Welcome to our Sunday evening online church service. As we begin this evening, let's go ahead and open with prayer, and then we'll open up the Word. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now this evening that you would work in our hearts, guide us and direct us. Father, as we look at the lives of a king who reigned for many years, and most of those years that he reigned were good years, but then toward the end, he turned away from you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn from his life. And as we study the subject of character, I pray that you'd help me to be able to portray things that you want us to learn in a proper way, and that you'd speak to our hearts and guide us, that, Lord, we might be able to benefit from this message this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles this evening. And you'll see in your notes that it's 2 Chronicles 23 and 24. Actually, 23, we won't spend a lot of time there. That's more of a little bit of a history or preparation for the king. But the next king in our study in the kings of Israel and Judah is a young man named Joash. He's also called Jehoash, so don't get confused by that. Depending on where you read, some of the passages call him Joash, some of them call him Jehoash. He was a good king during the first part of his 40-year reign. Now, he reigned 40 years. That's a good long time. And much of those years, he reigned as a good king. But then right toward the end, he turned bad. And we ask ourselves, what went wrong? What went wrong? And the only thing I can see is that he lacked personal godly character. He lacked personal godly character. We ask ourselves, what is character? You know, sometimes we talk about character and yet we don't really know how to define it. If I was to ask you tonight, you know, what is character? Maybe you wouldn't really have a good answer for it. Here is a definition that I believe really kind of helps us to understand it. And it says that character can be defined as what makes a person distinct from others, often with a peculiar emphasis or a particular emphasis on moral qualities. When we think of a person who has good character, we often describe them with terms like integrity, honesty, strong moral fiber, care and concern for others, and the like. Character is demonstrated in actions, but true character resides in the heart. End of quote. That last statement there, true character resides in the heart. And I think that's really the key of what we're going to be looking at here this evening. This evening I want us to examine three ingredients that are often part of developing godly character. And I say often because some people who have not received the first ingredient may also develop godly character, but it will be a greater challenge. And so as we look at these three ingredients, the first ingredient is early biblical training. Now, as we look at this young Joash, let me just give you a little bit of a history of what's taking place here. We remember in our story that Azariah the king died. All right, we saw that last time. And Azariah was the king. He was a bad king in Judah. And his mother's name was Athaliah. Now remember, Jotham married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And she trained her son Azariah to be wicked. And she purposely did that, and the scriptures tell us that she did. And then when Azariah died, her son died, he was the only son left because the rest of them had been killed and taken captive. And so the only one left, he was the only one left. And so when he died, she killed all the royal family, all of his children, and anyone else that could possibly reign. She had them murdered and proclaimed herself as queen. And that's really what chapter 23 is about. It talks about some of that and how that Jehoiada then, the high priest, stepped in to help. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse number 11, we read that Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Azariah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Azariah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. Now that is a very rich historical verse for us there. Alright, so it tells us this Jehoshabeth, who was the sister of King Ahaziah, and she was evidently not of the same mother as Ahaziah's mom, but they were sister, brother and sister, and she was married to the high priest Jehoiada, and she took this little baby, tiny baby Joash, took him and brought him into the temple, and hid him in the chamber in the temple, and kept anybody from knowing that. And for 6 years, the first 6 years of Joash's life, he was hiding in the temple. And, you know, during that 6 years, evidently, he never went outside. He kept hidden in there, and no one knew that he was there. Only the Jehoshabeth and the nurse, and obviously Jehoiada. And they kept it very quiet. And Jehoiada the priest, the high priest, his uncle, became his adopted father. And he cared for him just as a father would care for him. So during these first 6 years, these formative years, actually he must have been almost a year old when the event happened, and because we find that after 6 years, he's 7 years old when he becomes the king. But he is, Jehoiada and Jehoshabeth are preparing him and training him and rearing him as if he was their own child, and preparing him to be able to be God-fearing as he would soon become the king. Now, Joash learned to do what was right. We see in verse number 2 of 2 Chronicles 24, well, actually let's start in verse 1 of 24. It says, "And Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." Now that's a very important statement. He did right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Alright, so Jehoiada was the one that was caring for him. He was learning what was right and teaching him. And God tells us nothing really about Joash's early training. You know, those 6 years hidden in the temple there are a mystery. They're a secret to us. God has not revealed them to us. We do not know what took place. But we do know that because of the character of his adopted father, we can see what was taking place here in young Joash's life. Jehoiada was a God-fearing priest. He had a lofty character or a high character, and he was a devout spirit. He was devoted to the Lord. He was a very good high priest, and he was doing what was right. Now, this was during a time when Israel was not doing very well. Ahaziah had been a wicked king, and Joram before him was not very good either. And so it had been several years since they'd had God-fearing leadership in their nation, and they are in the process of going through 6 years of the terrible reign of Athaliah, who was the wicked, rotten daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, who's now the queen. Now, we can be confident that during those 6 years, that Jehoiada poured his heart into training young Joash in the things of the Lord. We can see that he knew that this was, Joash was the only living son, the only living man who was capable of fulfilling God's promise of keeping the line of David on the throne of Israel. And all the others had been killed. And he had been used, and he and his wife Jehoshabeth had been used of God to preserve the life of this young lad. And now they are training him and preparing him and teaching him and helping him to become all that God wants him to be, so that he will become a good king that would carry on the godly principles of the Word of God. As once he became the king. And they knew they only had a short time during his early years before he was king to teach him and train him these things. Now, a child's early formative years are very important in the development of godly character. If you're going to develop godly character in a young lad, it needs to be especially begin during those very early years of his life. Now consider some of the qualities that are best learned during those early years. Things like fearing God. You know, a child before he is 5 or 6 years old needs to have a fear of God in his heart. To understand who God is, have a respect for God, have a fear of God. He needs honesty and truthfulness. You know, a child by that age is certainly capable to be of honest and truthful, and that needs to be ingrained in their heart and taught to them. Obedience, complete and without delay. You know, many children, even children who are somewhat obedient, don't always obey completely, and they don't always obey immediately. But that's what obedience really is, and they need to learn that. That is something that a parent needs to ingrain with them and instruct them and teach them and train them into their hearts. Then they need to have a respect for authority. This is all part of godly character, respect for authority. So when someone in authority speaks to them, they will respect them and honor them and obey them and do what is right. They need to have morality. In other words, a purity of mind and eye and action. Even as a young child, we need to instill that in them and help them to understand that they need to keep themselves pure as God made them pure, and help them to keep their eyes pure and their actions pure and their mind pure. And we need to protect them. One of the ways that we do that is guarding what they see. That's why Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23 says that we are to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to guard our hearts and guard the hearts of our children. The children also need to learn to share, not be selfish. It's not part of their nature, that's for sure. They need to learn that. They need to learn to be kind. They need to learn to have wholesome speech. You hear some of the children in our world today, and the way that they talk, they use all kinds of filth and terrible words because that's what they hear at home. And so the children in those young years need to hear that which is good and wholesome so that they can develop a wholesome speech. They need to have a genuine confession when they are wrong. To be willing to say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And they need to learn that. That needs to be part of their training. They need to learn humility. Humility is a hard thing. And it's hard to teach it. But it's something we need to work toward and try to ingrain it in their hearts, to put others first and not always wanting to be number one and not always wanting to be first and not always wanting the best for themselves. We need to teach them humility. And then they need discernment. Oh, how they need discernment to be able to make right choices in life. And then, of course, we strive to build within them a personal relationship with Christ. Now they have to make that choice. And we cannot push it on them. We cannot trick them into it. You can talk a young child into saying anything. You could go to a 4-year-old child and say, you know, you want to go to heaven? Sure, I want to go to heaven. All right, you'll say this prayer and you can go to heaven. They would say that in a moment. But that doesn't mean that it has reached their heart. So we need to be praying and working toward God, convicting their heart of their sin and helping them to see their sinfulness. And each time they get disciplined for doing wrong, we need to point them to Jesus and how that Jesus died for your sins and how that This is why you have to be punished, because you have done wrong, and Christ has died for your sins and wants to forgive you and give you eternal life. And then let the Spirit of God convict them and bring them to the place through our prayer and our diligence in working with them that they might place their faith and trust in Christ. And that's something we need to pray to that end. But these are just a few of the basic qualities that a young person needs to develop during those first few formative years. Now, these and similar qualities are not inherited. You know, you will not find any child that is inherently honest or automatically kind or have discernment or are moral. That's not part of our human nature. That's not what we were born with. We didn't inherit that. We need to teach these things to our children. They are learned from caring parents. Parents must teach these qualities first by example. And that's the hard part. Mom and dad must live an example before the kids. And then through thoughtful and persistent training. It's very important that we teach our children these character qualities. So, the first ingredient to developing godly character is early biblical training. And some of you may not have had the privilege of having that early biblical training in your life. Doesn't mean that you can't develop character. But it does mean you have a handicap and you're going to have to work a little harder at it because you didn't have that upbringing in a home where God was honored. And some of you may have grown up in homes where these qualities that we've just talked about here were non-existent. There was no fear of God. Their honesty wasn't all that important, and obedience was not enforced, and there was not much respect, and morality was not talked about. And, you know, down to the list, you may not have had any of that as a young person, but you can still develop character. But you're going to have to work at it a little bit extra because you didn't have that formative training. But the second ingredient we find in developing godly character is a consistent godly mentoring. As you continue on through the story of Joash, you see that Jehoiada began to mentor him. He began to help him and teach him. The word mentor means, it refers to a wise and trusted guide or advisor. And once Joash became the king, he became king when he was 7 years old, and he certainly needed a mentor at that point. And Joash was guided and counseled in spiritual matters and probably other matters by Jehoiada. And while Joash was still young, Jehoiada was probably mentoring him even in the political matters. I mean, you can imagine he needed guidance. What 7-year-old child knows how to rule a kingdom and how to send out the military forces and how to take care of major problems in a country? He needed guidance. And so certainly Jehoiada was there to mentor him and to give him guidance and instruction and advice and counsel. And so during his reign, there was much of that that came from Jehoiada. Jehoiada was really his, not only his adopted dad, but he was his mentor, he was his helper, he was his counselor, he was his right-hand man during his reign as king. And Jehoiada was getting to be an old man, and especially in the later years of Joash's reign. But during his reign, Joash did have a mind to do things that were pleasing to God. We see in that one of the things that he did was he desired to repair the temple of God. See this in verse 4 of chapter 24, verse number 4. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Now that was good. And he had learned, and as a youngster, he had learned the importance of those things of God. And so he said, well, listen, let's fix up the temple of God. It's been messed up and desecrated through the years of neglect and misuse. And so he made a plan to fix and prepare fix up the temple like it should be. And it was a big success. And Jehoiada worked with him during this project, no question about it. Verse number 14, it says, and when they had finished it, They brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons, and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. That's an important phrase as well. All the days of Jehoiada. And so Jehoiada had a great influence on his reign. And so this, as a mentor, he was there guiding and encouraging. Now a child, as a child continues to grow and mature, he needs constant godly mentoring. Not only does he need those formative years of training and preparing him to do what is right, but he needs mentoring. He needs a counselor. He needs a guide. He needs supervision. He needs direction. And such mentoring needs to be consistent, and it needs to be based on unchanging, solid principles of the Bible. You know, we need biblical mentoring. So we're guiding our children based on the scriptures and saying, this is what God said, this is how we need to react in this situation, and this is how we need to respond to this, and this is what we should do here because this is what God said. So it's biblical, consistent mentoring. And it is also consistent in the sense that it is continues on a regular basis. It needs to be regular. Children don't need just once in a while giving some advice. They need regular guidance and counsel and instruction. Don't just turn our children loose and say, well, I trust him and I'll let him do what he wants. Don't do that. They need those guidance until they become an adult and are on their own. They need instruction and guidance. Now, mentoring needs to be godly so that it points the young person in God's direction. It must reflect the holy character of God in its delivery and in its goal. What are we after? What are we striving for here? We need that. Now, to make mentoring successful, the mentor must develop a friendship, respect, and an open communication with the pupil. That is very important and very difficult at times. With the busyness of life, parents, especially dads, often fail to build the necessary friendship, respect, and open communication with their children. And if we fail to build those things, the result will be that there's going to come a time when the child will either openly or inwardly reject parental mentoring. When they're going to say, I don't want you telling me what to do anymore. I don't want to listen to your ways. I want to do it my way. We need that close communication. Develop that friendship so they trust us. Develop that respect so that they want to adhere to what we say. And the open communication so that we're able to talk about things freely and openly. That is not easy. Parents, we need to work diligently at that because that is not an easy thing to be able to accomplish. Take that very seriously. It's very important to develop friendship, respect, and communication with your children. Now, mentors fortify the characters of the child throughout life. And Jehoiada's mentoring kept Joash going in the right direction. We saw that back in verse number 2, where we read, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. As long as Jehoiada was alive and mentoring him and guiding him and instructing and encouraging and strengthening him and supporting him, he did what was right. And that's good. And God graciously gave Jehoiada a very long life to extend that mentoring influence. We read in chapter 24, verse 15. Look at that. Very important verse here. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. And 130 years old was he when he died. Now that was old. It's old today, but it was also old in that day. There weren't very many people that were living to that age. Most of these kings and others had died much younger than that. And here he lived 130 years, and I believe it was because God kept him alive to be able to continue to mentor and encourage Joash. Jehoiada, like a parent mentor, probably made mistakes. I don't think anybody's ever gone through a situation like that and not made any mistakes. He was a human. Yet the fact that Joash followed his counsel until he died is very commendable. He respected Jehoiada, and he honored him, and he was his guide and encouragement and his mentor. You know, as parents, once our children leave home, our mentoring must change. You know, every parent must let his child grow up, become an adult. Yeah, that's all part of the maturing process. However, if we have built that close friendship, respect, and open communication while they were young, that child will still value and seek our counsel. But if we failed to, or to whatever degree we have failed to develop that friendship, respect, and open communication, it will have a reflection on how much they really value our and seek our input in decisions that they make. And they've got to be able to make their own decisions. I understand that. But at the same time, we want to be able to be there for them, and we want to be have a communication open so that we can be a help to them. So we've seen so far the first two ingredients to developing godly character. Firstly, early biblical training. And second was consistent godly mentoring. But third, and very important, in developing character is a sincere personal acquiring. What do I mean by that? Let me explain here as we look into this. A sincere personal acquiring. Teaching and mentoring are only influences. I believe it was Dale Carnegie that wisely said, "Those convinced against their will are of the same opinion still." Those convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. See, during their upbringing years, and this was the case with Joash here, he was abiding by what Jehoiada said, but evidently it wasn't part of his heart. It wasn't really part of him. It wasn't really what he wanted. It wasn't really what he felt in his soul. And yes, both training and mentoring are only influences. We can train right, and we can mentor right, but those are only influences. There comes a time when the child leaves home, and he will make those individual choices for himself, and he or she must make his own way in life, his own path in life, and make his own choices. God has given a promise in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6 that I think is important to parents. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, it is a mystery how God weaves together his sovereignty, a parent's frail efforts, and a child's free will to be able to fulfill this promise. When he says, train up a child in the way that he should go, God knows that as parents, we are not perfect. And we will not always do it the way we should be. But God said, if we do it the way that it should be, then when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And how the sovereignty of God works in there with the free will of the child, it is a mystery to us. But God has made this statement for us. And we know that God will do his part. God will do his part. So if my child goes astray, I cannot blame God. It is likely due to a failure on my training. I believe it is extremely rare that any parent can truly say that he has fulfilled his part of the equation flawlessly. Yet that ought to be our aim. That needs to be our goal. Train up our child in the way that he should go. That needs to be our passion. That needs to be our aim. And as a husband and wife working together to train up our children in the way they should go. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes energy. And we've got to work at it. But that needs to be our goal. Now, true character must be personally acquired. Once Jehoiada died, Joash revealed that he had never sincerely and personally acquired godly character. Look at verse number 17. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. And the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. The people came to Joash and said, "We don't want to serve God anymore. We want to serve idols. We want to go back to Baal worship. We want to do what others are doing." And Joash said, "Okay, that's all right, fine, go ahead." And now he didn't do that during the time when Jehoiada was alive, but once Jehoiada was dead and his counsel was gone and his mentoring was no longer there, he revealed his genuine character. He did not have true godly character residing in his heart. And what he did have in his heart was weak. And he soon hearkened unto the people and let them go back into their idolatry. Now, obviously, he couldn't wholeheartedly control what they did in their hearts, but he could stop it as a whole, as a nation. He could say, "No, we're not going to have this out in the open." They would have had to do their idolatry in secret. But he let them openly worship the idols. And God sent prophets to them to bring them back again, but they wouldn't listen. Look at verse 19. "Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear." They wouldn't listen. God also sent Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, and perhaps others of his sons to preach against the wrongdoing that was taking place here. And Jehoiada, his son Zechariah, would have grown up with Joash. They would have been like brothers. Now, Zechariah may have been an older type of a brother to him, but they were in the same family in the sense that Joash had been adopted into their family. And yet, when he spoke against these evils, how did Joash respond? Look at verse 20 and 21. "And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, and that ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones," note the next phrase, "at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord." Joash himself said, "Kill him with stones." He gave the commandment. And this was his adopted half-brother, so to speak. A close friend. Jehoiada's own son. How could he do that? Jehoiada had been his friend, his counselor, his mentor, his guide, his companion all those years. And now he turns on his own son and has him killed. Within a year, we find that God said, "All right, that's enough." So this is right at the end of his reign. And then verse number 24, it says, "For the army of the Assyrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into the hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departing from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada." I thought that was interesting when I saw that, plural. Apparently he killed more than one of the sons of Jehoiada the priest. And the servants slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Now, when it says they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings, that means that they gave him a disgraceful burial. To be buried with the kings was an honor. They didn't give him that honor because he had turned against the things of God. What a huge change that had taken place. Verse 23 says it was at the end of the year. And so it appears there that it was just shortly after he had killed the prophets that God said, that's enough. And God cut him short. So exactly how long he had reigned in a godly fashion compared to how long he reigned in an ungodly fashion, we cannot say for sure, but it sounds like it was a vast majority of his 40 years that he was doing right. And at the end, when Jehoiada was gone, he turned his back and did wrong. Now, true character, true godly character must reside in the heart. Each of us must take the training and mentoring that we have received and form our own convictions and character. Each of our children must do the same. When they get to that point, when they're on their own, they need to make their own choices and they need to form their own convictions. True character is in the heart. It's what we will do deep down in our heart. And our heart governs us. It is not that I've got to do this because mom and dad are over me. I've got to do this because someone's watching me. I've got to do this because if I don't, I'll get in trouble. It is because I want to do these things because that is what is right and that is part of my heart. And it needs to be in our heart. And each of us need to put that in the depths of our heart. Now, God wants us to develop godly character. And that's what's really this message we find here is working in our hearts toward that end, that God wants us to develop godly character. And if you were not privileged to grow up in a godly Christian home, you do have a handicap. But you still can succeed in developing character, godly character, if you'll take the effort. You know, study the scriptures. Proverbs are very helpful. Pour over the Proverbs. Make developing godly character in your life a goal for your life and also for God's glory. And if you have children at home, teaching and training and mentoring those children is a task that is vitally important. It is not just a matter of getting through these years until they get out of the house. No, you've got an opportunity to train them and mold them and mentor them, and they need you desperately. You need to make that a priority. You're going to make mistakes, and when you do, admit them and seek to change. Take this task seriously. Pour your heart into it. And then pray and pray and pray some more. God's got to do the work. You cannot change your child's heart. You cannot force him to develop character. You can give him all of the equipment, all of the principles, all of the help. You can mentor him. You can guide him. But God's got to do a work in his heart. And he's got to adopt that character, godly character, himself. And so make it your goal to have godly character in your own life, and then to pass that on to the next generation. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we need your help. Lord, we pray for especially those who have young children at home, that you would guide them and give them wisdom in teaching and training and mentoring their children. And those of us who have children that are grown and on their own, I pray that you'd help us to do what we can to be a mentor when we have those privileges and opportunities. And if we have failed to develop the closeness with our children so that they don't really seek our counsel, then Lord, help us to have wisdom in praying and doing what we can. But I pray that you'd help each of us to develop godly character in our lives that would stand up and do right, even when we don't have a mentor looking over our shoulder. Oh God, help us to do what is right day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.